So please welcome Devyang Lu. He's a software engineer, and it's his first time at FOSDEM, so it's a big occasion. It's not his first time reverse engineering, but it's the first time doing something that big. So a big round of applause for him.
Thank you very much. So today we will be talking about reverse engineering the world's largest music streaming platform, which you may guess is Spotify. So I want to ask if there's anyone from Spotify here in the room. Okay, actually no one, so I shouldn't get arrested for doing this. So a bit on who I am. I'm a backend software developer. I'm a big contributor for open source, going from small projects to a little bit more stuff, and also my own projects. I enjoy, as you will see, reverse engineering and a bit of software security. For that reason, I'm also interested in IoT stuff. I have a couple of CVEs to my name and have fun with other stuff that isn't necessarily public. I'm also a CTF player, so for those that don't know, CTFs are capture the flag competitions, which are cybersecurity related. I am a former Timitary member, which is the team that competes in the European Cybersecurity Challenge. With my old team, I was an organizer for CSE 2024, which is the European cybersecurity competition, and also a platform provider for ICC, which is the international cybersecurity competition. And I've also been a DEFCON finalist with Macaroni. Before we start, there's a big disclaimer. This talk expresses entirely my opinion, not that of my current, previous, future employer, and not that of my friends, my colleagues, or people I met online. For the same reason, this talk includes only things that I learned and discovered personally, no work from other people. The work presented in these slides is to enhance Spotify, not undermine it. We don't do piracy, and I have nothing to do with Anna's archive. This talk was decided well before that happened. And to Spotify, please don't mind me again. Please don't sue me. Let's have a chat first. So now we begin. We will talk about Spotify, but we will also talk about LibreSpot, which is the actual open source project that we and me and other people work on. When I talk about LibreSpot, actually I'm talking about many projects, because there are many projects written in different languages, but all of them share the fact that they are a client library for Spotify, capable of playback through various backends. It is completely headless, so it does not have, does not require a desktop environment. It's entirely based on reverse engineering. It is fully capable as a Spotify Connect endpoint, and it's an alternative to all-time deprecated libSpotify, which I never got to know even. This project is not a bulk downloader. Don't use it for that, please. A way to skip or bypass ads. We do not support free accounts. It's not a wrapper around public APIs. It's not a control library. It's not an alternative GUI, TUI, or CLI. So why LibreSpot exists? You can find your own reasons, but these are some of the most common. You can turn any device into a Spotify Connect endpoint. It is headless, it does not require a desktop environment, it has very low resource usage for that reason. If you're really into open source, you may want to know exactly the code that you're running, so all the LibreSpot projects allow you to do that. And also you may be an audio nerd, so you may want to build your own audio pipeline, your multi-room setup, your DIY DAC and streamer setup. All those kind of things. So I was saying that LibreSpot is a family. Because there are many projects, depending on the language mainly and on the support. We have Python version, we have a C version, which runs on ESP32, for example. Then we have what I'm currently working on, which is Go Libraspot, written in Go, obviously. There's an old version in Go, which is not developed anymore. Then there's another project of mine, which was the original Libraspot in, not the original, but my original project in Java. And then we have the original Libraspot, which is in Rust and is the longest standing of them all. The Java version is actually deprecated because, yeah. So we'll have a look into the Spotify infrastructure a little bit, or at least what we need to get a Spotify Connect endpoint working. This is the state of things after 2019, because there was a major change in the infrastructure. And also, this is what we, as reverse engineering, in reverse engineering, we discovered being the infrastructure. If there was someone from Spotify, they could probably tell me I'm wrong. So piece by piece, we have the AP resolve, which is just a service that returns a list of endpoints for other services. Then we have the access point, which was the thing that was very used up until 2019. It's a custom protocol over a TCP connection that has some Diffie-Hellman key exchange, then encrypts using some strange cipher called Shannon, and transports simple data packets, which are composed just of packet type, packet length, and packet data. From this connection, we get store credentials. So we log in with the access point, and we get a set of store credentials, which never expire. So we can use them to authenticate other sessions of when you close and reopen the client. Then we have the Login 5 service, which is a new authentication service that is used for the newer services in the infrastructure. And we authenticate to that using the credentials from the access point. And the most useful thing that we still need the access point for is retrieving decryption keys for the audio files, because Spotify serves only encrypted audio files, and you will need the key to decrypt them. On to the next piece. This is new stuff. As I said, the Login 5 provides authentication for other services. It provides a bearer token to authenticate the SP client.